B-Pod Studios.
Let's get Ricky Bowe up here on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. Hey, Ricky.
What's up, Mark?
What's up, Bob?
Hi, Rick.
How are you, Bobby?
I'm good, thank you.
What happened to Michael? Is Michael okay? Ricky, can you just tell me, is Michael Barkin stabbing himself in the neck? What's going on here?
He's pretty close, yeah. The last couple nights, wow. I mean, the doubleheader day and then last night. It's Jekyll and Hyde. Mm-hmm. I mean, every single night, you never know who you're getting with this team.
Let me ask you this.
And the bullpen is driving everybody nuts.
Well, here's the thing, though, Rick. I got to be honest, man. I just expect them to suck. I don't expect Gene Segura to try to call off Rhys Hoskins. When you see something like that as a former player, how does that happen? I can understand mistakes are going to happen. But something so unbelievably basic. Yeah. How does that
Number
happen?
One, Mark, I was taught as a pitcher. See, I caught too, so I had somewhat of a trust in myself to catch a pop up.
Uh-huh.
Okay, they don't trust pitchers to do anything. You know that, except for throw the baseball.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And obviously, that's not working for the Phillies right now. But when a ball goes up in the infield, I used to circle. I would put myself just outside of their area, right, and I would take a look at where the ball is, take a look at who's closest, and that's the guy I'm giving leeway to. And I took over the captaincy on the field at that point. And so last night, I would have been on the field yelling, Rhys, Rhys, Rhys. Went in there, still turned his back to the play, just stood there. So he takes some of that blame also.
Wow. Was that uncommon for a pitcher to do that, or do you feel like more pitchers do that?
If you want the out, you do that. You turn around and say, okay, I see the ball up in the air. I'm making this call.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is part of the pitcher's responsibility. But what in the world was Segura doing on the other side of the diamond?
Well,
that is just mind-boggling that he came over from 120 feet, 130 feet away, and decided he's going to call the ball and he's not even under it.
Yeah, I like Joe Girardi at least saying after the game that had to do with Gene Segura's inexperience. So it's not throwing a player under the bus, but it's also not letting him out. He also tried to take responsibility for the bullpen being so bad, which I thought was a bit much.
Well, he's not the one that necessarily put that together.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
when you really think about it, when a manager is out there right now, he was dealt a set of cards, and that deck of cards really sucks. I mean, completely honest with you, there's nothing he could really. He put the right guy in last night, and putting in Neris. Who else are you going to put in?
Yeah, right.
All right, Neris didn't have his best stuff, and that hasn't happened at all yet this year, but it did last night. And everywhere you turn right now in that bullpen, there's a detour, and this is not a good sign.
Rick, I thought the other night when he put Pivetta out there and left him there for a little bit, I thought it was his way of saying, I can't have this on my team. Did you read more into it, or was it just the fact that he put him out there to get some work, the guy sucked, and now they demoted him?
I think you have a big lead. Get yourself out of it. I mean, that's what I think. You know what, Bob? You've been around for a while, and I know you've watched from years back. It used to be you go in there, you get out of your own mess. Now it's almost like, let's pass the baton. I don't want to be in here anymore. And that's not a good sign. I used to hate letting a pitcher come. If I left like a runner on second, runner on third with less than two outs, I wanted to do that myself. Because if I was going to give up, if my ERA was going to go up, it was going to be because of me. And nowadays, it's like, I'd rather, it's almost like they want somebody, it's like they don't want to really be in the game. They want the paycheck, but they don't want to be in the game. That's what I feel like.
Do you know anything about the Connor Brogdon, who they brought up from AAA after they sat down Nick Pivetta?
From what I hear, like, you know, you hear scouting reports, right?
Right.
Well, what I hear, he had really good numbers in AA and AAA. I will tell you that. He had 107 strikeouts in 90 or 76 innings. So, yeah, he could strike people out. But what I'm hearing is a mid-90s fastball with a really, really good changeup. Bob, who's the first guy that pops into your mind?
A really good changeup and a really good fastball?
When they first came up, yeah.
Ricky Pitalica.
No, Trevor Hoffman.
There you go.
But I'm not going to make that type of comparison.
Oh, well, you just did, Richard.
No, I'm just saying, when you hear that, I'm kind of making fun of what you hear about a scouted report.
Understood, yeah.
high 90s or mid 90s fastball and a tremendous changeup. The first guy that pops into my mind is a guy like Trevor Hoffman, but they need something. And I will even go this far. I watched Wheeler last night, and the one thing that popped into my mind, and I'm sure if you're watching it kind of in depth, you would have said the same thing, that nothing that Wheeler throws is soft.
Mm-hmm.
I really feel like if he takes something off of his breaking stuff once in a while, I think that would throw batters off a little bit. Because if you haven't noticed, he hasn't really been striking out a lot of guys.
Right.
And that's surprising to me with the stuff he has. So they're trying to attack his fastball, obviously. But it wasn't his fault last night by any stretch of the imagination. And the starting pitching has been phenomenal. I mean, what are they, about a 3... maybe a low 3 ERA.
Yeah, I think going into last night, I think they're top 5 in Major League Baseball in starting pitching, and then worst ever in bullpen pitching. But Ricky, just to let you know, we will isolate you saying Trevor Hoffman, and that'll be the comparison that we'll run with for the rest of the day.
But you do whatever you have to.
Exactly. But like, so you went to that. I don't even want to call it an extreme because it was called for with Nick Pivetta. Is there any chance they do that with third base and they say, hey, Alec Boehm, come on up, man. Third base is yours. Let's party.
I don't think it would surprise me. I think Girardi wants the best players up there to see if he can win. I'm not so sure Klentak is on that same boat, but you could see the frustration from Joe last night for the first time. You could see in his press conferences, not necessarily beating around the bush, but giving us the truth, but it wasn't the full truth. And you know what that means. That means he's not really happy with his players. He's not happy with exactly what's going on. When you're asked about your relief pitching and then you're asked about your defense and you answer those questions and your answer is, well, you know, the one thing we did do is the offense kept coming back. Well, yes. Okay, that's not the problem, though.
Right.
The problem is not the offense. The offense is playing well. They're hitting the baseball. They scored plenty of runs to win last night. But I don't know. I look at that game last night, and the one thing that was very bothersome to me is that they were out-hustled, out-played, out-smarted by the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah, of all teams. Yeah. Now, there could be a trend developing, Ricky, because I wouldn't bring up Alec Boehm if you hadn't already brought up Spencer Howard because you wanted more pitching. You hadn't already brought up Connor Brogdon now to be in the bullpen. And maybe now there's a trend. Maybe now you're actually going to be relying on some of the younger, more inexperienced major league guys to actually, I don't know, pick up some of the slack. So do you think that would be more of a Joe Girardi decision to go to Matt Klentak saying, dude, you got to help me out here? Or do you think that'll be Matt Klentak saying, let me help out my manager?
I think that would be more of a split decision, because I think at that point you would have to get the okay from the general manager to do that. But I think Girardi would be the guy that would start it up. I think you're in a situation right now where there is an opening. I don't know if you guys looked at it this way, but there's a second baseman over there that's struggling offensively, really not getting balls to defensively. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if Segura moves over to second base and you bring in Alec Boehm.
Now, we also talked about, real quick on this, Scott Kingery just looks like he doesn't have any, he just doesn't have it. Like, does he need to go down to the minors to get some reps where he can try to play catch-up, extended spring training more or less type of thing, and that would be the window to bring up Boehm? Is that how it could work?
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with his COVID. I mean, we've seen this around the league. We saw it with Freddie Freeman. He was not hitting. That's a bad comparison. Wow, did I go in the wrong direction.
Trevor Hoffman, Freddie Freeman.
Well, Freddie Freeman and Scott Kingery.
Yeah, I know.
But, I mean, the whole point is, you know, you get that, and it seems like the guys are really drained for a while after they come back. So I just think maybe Kingery goes down, gets a bunch of reps down with the taxi squad and see if he can't kick it back in gear. Because he looks strong enough, but that doesn't mean his ability is there right now. I mean, it takes a long time to get into baseball shape, and I just don't see it right now with him.
Rick, I know we're only 12 games in, and it's probably too soon to
ask. It feels like a lot more than that.
It does, doesn't it? But if there's the biggest difference, good or bad, in this team than the one that we had on paper before this season started, what would it be in your eyes?
The biggest difference? You're going to laugh, but I'm going to say the starting rotation. I didn't think it would be as good as it is.
Mm.
I mean, the bullpen on paper, if you're talking about like being in spring training and being in summer camp, I think they had a better bullpen in summer camp than they do now. And the reason why I say that is you had veterans out there that have been there, done that, that you released. The Lirianos of this world should not have been released. Right. I think that was a general manager move, and that was a bad general manager move.
Thinking
you can get by with young guys in a short season is not the optimal thing to do.
All right, let's talk about something that more people are actually excited about, Ricky. And I know you're a hockey man, you're a hockey warrior.
Wow,
I know you miss your Whalers. How many games will the Flyers win this series in against the Canadian Owls?
I think 6 games. We'll give the Canadians are not a pushover.
Well, they're like that
scrappy gnat that won't go away.
Yeah,
they are. They really are. Did you see that game last night?
Five overtime game? Yeah, man.
They had to cancel a game because of that.
Yes, they did. They had to push back till 11 o'clock. A little 11 o'clock hockey action north of the border. I like that.
The funny thing is that it was a flipping goal that goes in.
I know, right? Go figure, man. Ricky, great catching up with you, brother. We'll talk to you later in the season, man. Thanks a lot.
That's it? You cut me off?
I would like to have you longer, but Mark, you know, gave me the throat cut signal.
So, well, Ricky, you know, since this question's come up a lot today, you know Damian Lillard, the NBA player?
Oh yeah. God,
would you consider him a superstar?
No.
Wow. Wow.
All right, Rick.
Why are you on the wrong side, Rick?
My definition.
I gotta go, guys.
My definition of superstar is someone who's done it forever. I only have a few people in my superstardom. And
I'm on your same page.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate you. Now you can go.
See, that's why I was trying to run you off, Ricky. Thanks very much.
Smart man.
He literally just hung up. I love that guy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.